It's easy.
Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
You know, I don't agree with all the people who support me, and I guess since they don't all agree with everything I believe in, but I need to get 50.1% or more, and I'm appreciative to have the help of a lot of good people.
That's Mitt Romney saying he doesn't necessarily agree with everything that everybody who supports him believes. That was in response to a question about his association with the Donald, who's doing his best to reignite that foolish birther issue. The presidential race is where we get started this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show. I'm Doug Steffen. Here's Wolf Blitzer from CNN talking to Donald Trump about why he continues to bring up the issue of President Obama's birth when the state of Hawaii has already provided the birth certificate and affirmed its legitimacy.
Donald, thanks very much for joining us.
I thought your reporter was very inaccurate in his description, and I thought the introduction was totally inappropriate and was actually very dishonest.
Tell us why.
Because what he said was wrong, and what he said was almost as though President Obama wrote it. But I'm sure he knows that, and I thought it was a very inappropriate introduction. But go ahead with your first question.
Is there a specific issue you want to dispute that he mentioned?
Well,
because if you do, I want to give you a chance.
Obama does not like the issue of where he was born. His own publisher, as you know, using his words, said he was born in Kenya and he lived in Indonesia. Of course, now he's denying that amazingly. But I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to talk, as you said you would, jobs, China, what's going on with respect to China and how they're ripping this country, what's going on with respect to OPEC and how the nations of OPEC are laughing at the stupidity of our country.
Right.
That's what I'm here to talk about. You know that's what I'm here to talk about. And I thought that your introduction was highly inappropriate, but that's okay because I've gotten to know you over the years.
Listen, Donald, first of all, I never said we weren't going to talk about the birther issue. We had a conversation earlier today. We didn't discuss at all what we were going to talk about.
Tell you, it's not an issue that he likes talking about. So what he does is uses reverse psychology on people like you so that you report like, oh, gee, he's thrilled with it. He does not like that issue because it's hitting very close to home. You know it, and he knows it.
Donald, you and I have known each other for a long time, and I don't understand why you're doubling down on this birther issue after the state of Hawaii formally says this is the legitimate birth certificate. He was born in Hawaii. Why are you going through all of this, Donald?
Well, a lot of people don't agree with that birth certificate.
But if the state of Hawaii authorizes it, if the state of Hawaii says this is official, he was born in Hawaii on this date, here it is, why do you deny that?
A lot of people do not think it was an authentic certificate.
How can you say that?
You won't report it, Wolf, but many people do not think it was authentic. His mother was not in the hospital. There were many other things that came out. And frankly, if you would report it accurately, I think you'd probably get better ratings than you're getting, which are pretty small.
Donald, have you seen the actual newspaper announcements within days of his birth in Honolulu? For example, the Honolulu Star Bulletin, we'll put it up there. You see the birth announcement back in 1961.
And many people did
the
that.
Honolulu.
And they put those,
listen to me, Donald. Honolulu. Can I ask the question?
Defending Obama?
Donald, you're beginning to sound a little ridiculous.
Let me tell you something. I think you sound ridiculous, and if you'd ask me a question, then let me answer it.
Here's the question. Did the conspiracy start in 1961 when the Honolulu Star Bulletin and the Honolulu Advertiser contemporaneously published announcements that he was born in Hawaii?
That's right. And many people put those announcements in because they wanted to get the benefits of being so-called born in this country. Many people did it. It was something that was done by many people, even if they weren't born in the country. You know it, and so do I.
Why did the state of Hawaii authorize that live birth certificate? Why did they do it? Are they part of this conspiracy as well?
Well, you know, your Democratic governor, who was the one that was really leading it, a lot of people say, where did it come from? And they're saying, how come he didn't show it to John McCain, Hillary Clinton? It was only Donald Trump that got him to do it. So you know that, and I know that.
Coming up, more on Mitt Romney, Donald Trump, and the birther issue when the Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
I'm Colonel Dave Clark, Executive Director of the Defense Department's 60th Anniversary of the Korean War Commemoration Committee. On Korean War Armistice Day, July 27th at 9 a.m., we are inviting Korean War veterans, their families and friends, to visit the Arlington National Cemetery Amphitheater for a wreath-laying ceremony and commemorative event. It's open to the public and will feature senior representatives from across the Department of Defense and the United States government. For more information, visit koreanwar.defense.gov.
And now Geico presents 30 Seconds with Maxwell the Pig.
Maxwell. You're on.
Cool. And so you just want me to read the script? You don't want me to do the wee thing? Okay. Today, I'm going to talk about the new Geico mobile app and how you can manage your policy and get your ID card and customize it with your favorite Geico character. But I'm not yelling wee or anything because they don't want me to, right?
Correct.
Okay. Just saying it's my thing.
Everything you love about Geico, now mobile. Download the new Geico app today.
Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. We've got a program with an interest rate that's dramatically lower than the current rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage. It's called our 7-1 adjustable rate mortgage. The rate today on a 7-1 ARM is an amazing 2.75%, APR 3.03%. This incredibly low rate is locked until the year 2019. After that, it may adjust once per year. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN. We'll help you keep more of that hard-earned money in your pocket where it belongs. Maybe that's why, for the second year in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the nation. I believe there's never been a more perfect time to refinance or purchase than right now. Again, the rate today on a 7-1 ARM is an amazing 2.75%, APR 3.03%. So give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or visit us at quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Adjustable rates subject to change. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License. Now 50 states, NMLS number 3030.
Today's Gold Bond Rescue Mission, the 7th inning sweat. I'm with superfan Scott and Paul.
Hey.
It's 100 degrees out here, and they're trying to enjoy a ball game.
It's getting uncomfortable.
Yeah, and sticky. That's why I'm giving them the powder with the power. Gold Bond Body Powder.
We're itchy, too.
The encapsulated menthol protects skin, absorbs moisture, even relieves itching. So they stay dry and comfortable.
Talk about a game changer.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank Gold Bond.
Do you hate commercials? Even this one? Even if we talk in a really soothing voice? Well, what about a commercial about Dish's Hopper, which is an HD DVR that lets you skip commercials automatically, so you can watch your show straight through without interruption? You'd like that commercial, right? Still no? How about if this commercial suddenly ended?
Watch commercial-free TV with the Hopper, the new whole home HD DVR from Dish. Call 1-800-WATCH-TV to get Dish today. Only available for playback of select HD primetime shows and must be enabled by customer. Programming sold separately. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Talk radio in review. Every day at this time, we focus on a number of things in the news talk radio world. The presidential race certainly number one and staying there. Here are our hosts Chad Hartman, Daphne Adato, and Kylie Shiley talking about Mitt Romney hurting his campaign by continuing to associate with the likes of Donald Trump.
Let's just play it one more time if folks miss the early headline. Will taking on Mr. Trump considering what is going to take place today, and he's not backing away.
I do not understand the cost-benefit here. The costs are clear. The benefits, what voter is going to vote for him because he's seen with Donald Trump?
Oh my God.
The cost of appearing with this bloviating ignoramus is obvious, it seems to me.
Jingle
Donald
back.
Trump is redundant evidence that if your net worth is high enough, your IQ can be very low and you can still intrude into American politics. But I don't understand the benefit. What is Romney seeking?
That was on the Stephanopoulos show on Sunday. Jake Tapper was filling in. So they're asking about today because a big fundraiser is taking place in Las Vegas with the man who's going to clinch the nomination tonight, Governor Romney. By the way, it won't be Rick Perry. Nice run for Rick Perry, by the way.
I have three reasons why that should not happen. One, he's not running anymore.
Yeah.
Two, he's pretty busy in Texas. Three, I can't remember.
Yeah. Very good.
Well
Very
done.
Good.
Well done.
Very good. Yeah, how about Rick Perry? Man, the best Rick Perry story was when they talked about he was on medication to potentially explain his performances, right? So they're in Vegas today. It's Romney, it's Trump, and it's Gingrich. Even Gingrich. I saw multiple Gingrich interviews over the weekend where he said, I don't even know why people bring this up still. I don't even know why people bring this up still. Now, maybe if he was running and Trump was giving him money, he would look a little bit different.
Now, is Newt in Vegas? Is he in Vegas as well? Because he's got
for this deal.
Okay, because he's got to pay off all that debt, so he's probably at the blackjack table, right?
Double
up that cash.
Yeah, maybe like Callista out there, you know? So here's what Don said earlier today. I have never really changed. Nothing's changed my mind on his birther-crazed issues. And by the way, you know, I had a huge group of people. I walked down the street and people are screaming, please don't give that up. In all sincerity, do you think one person, first of all, shouts at Don, please don't give that up? One.
Yes, and they're doing it sarcastically.
Yeah. And does Don even pay attention to rabble? If any of us walked by Don Trump, would he acknowledge us at all? At all?
No.
None.
I mean, I can get really vulgar and maybe catch his ear, but...
Yeah, maybe. Look, a publisher came out last weekend in a statement about Obama given to them by Obama when he was doing the book as a young man a number of years ago in the 90s. Born in Kenya and raised in Indonesia. There we go. Case closed. Case closed, even though everybody's investigated it about 1,000 times. This was the promotional material for the Obama memoirs from 91 that erroneously described him as Kenyan-born, which the publisher said was a typo. It is an odd typo, by the way. I mean, I got to admit, it's an odd typo. Let me just say, I believe 1,000% he was born in Hawaii because enough people have investigated it. But a typo? It's an odd, I mean, United States, Kenya. Indonesia.
Yeah, Kenya and Hawaii, they share an A, so you can see this happening.
He's produced the short, the long-form birth certificate, and as recently as this week, Hawaii reconfirmed that he's born in the state, but Trump says the promo is the one to believe. So don't believe the state. Don't believe what the Clintons investigated. Don't believe what McCain has investigated. Don't believe all the information that's out there. It's the promo. Go with that.
Here's radio host Doug Kellett talking about some of the latest polls, which show Mitt Romney with a double-digit lead over President Obama with veterans.
34% of veterans support Barack Obama in the election. 58% support Mitt Romney. That would be a landslide if indeed that turned out to be that way. Non-veterans, Barack is 48% to 44%. And all registered voters right now in the Gallup poll have both Romney and Obama dead even at 46%. Among men and women who happen to be veterans, men, it's 60 to 32% Mitt Romney. Let's see, women, it's Barack Obama. These are women veterans now, 47% to 42% for Mitt Romney. What's your take on that? What do you think the reason that would be? Of course, we do have the so-called gender gap, but actually the gender gap's on the Democratic side because they have so few males supporting them. It's all women voters. You only hear about the gender gap one way. Have you ever noticed that? In, let's see, men, non-veterans, I showed you, let's see, for Barack Obama, it's non-veterans, it's 46% for Romney, 45% for Obama. All men, it's Romney 50% to 42% in the latest Gallup poll. I keep telling people, it's only, the election is only about a couple of states anyway, maybe, I should say several, Colorado being one of them, but it's not really a national election. I can tell you how many of the states are going to vote, and so can you. But there are some states that are up for grabs, and those individual states, including the state of Colorado here, will make the difference on whether Barack Obama gets a second term and whether he, whether Mitt Romney actually gets the choice and the nod. Because you look at Ohio, Colorado, Florida. I don't think North Carolina really is in play any longer. Virginia may be in play, but I really think Virginia will come along to the Republican side. And I think Wisconsin and maybe even Michigan. Maybe sort of in a historic way that it's been a long time, but we may see those states return to the Republican fold in the election.
Let's shift our gears to the violence in Syria. That's up next here on the Talk Radio Review.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
News Talk Television, News Talk Radio, the News Talk Medium, the new media. The discussion has been focused on Syria. Here's host Greg Garrison with political analyst Joel Pollack. They talk about the connection between Syria and Iran.
This is interesting. The headlines at Big Piece today, Syria, Netanyahu highlights Iran connection. Now, outline for us what's just happened. The Syrians are just massacring their own people left and right. Is this thing going to heat itself up into a bigger problem than it already is?
Well, it's a huge problem for Iran because the regime of Bashar al-Assad in Syria is a client of the Iranian regime. They use Syria to funnel weapons and money to Hezbollah in Lebanon, and they also use Syria as a diplomatic and military bulwark against the West. So the fact that that regime is toppling is a huge problem for Iran. So Iran's already involved in Syria, and by its own admission, Iranian troops are on the ground in Syria. Who knows what they're doing? Iran claims they're helping to control the violence. Everyone else believes they're inflaming it the same way they did with their own protests in Iran in 2009. So you've got a situation where Iran is already on a war footing in Syria. And Netanyahu just came out and told it like it is on Sunday when he said, look, we've got to realize this isn't just Assad flailing about protecting his dictatorship. This is Iran and Hezbollah directly involved in what's happening in Syria.
Well, we've known that, I think, has the civilized world paying attention here for a good while. What does it mean? What's the implication of a head of state right there in the middle of it actually kind of saying, okay, the king's not wearing the clothes, this Iran's right smack dab in the middle of this whole thing. Does that change things at all?
Not much. I mean, Assad was never a particularly powerful leader except in regards to his own people. Several years ago, Israel, just to demonstrate that he was weak, flew a couple of fighter jets right over his residence, showing that he couldn't do anything to stop them. This was in the middle of some violence that had broken out in the region that Israel believed he was behind. And just to show they could get to him, they just flew fighter jets right over his house. So he's not a very powerful man. His father was more feared in the region than he is. That said, he's still a very brutal man and is putting down any opposition to his dictatorship by the most brutal means possible.
Host Sean Anderson and Hillary Howard now talking to Obama advisor Mark Ginsburg about the latest in Syria and what we need to do about it, or what we're thinking about doing.
We are hearing from Kofi Annan today, and he says the crisis is at a tipping point. At what point does it go beyond the tipping point?
Sean, the tipping point occurred on April 11th, the day after the ceasefire was violated, the ceasefire that Kofi Annan himself had orchestrated and was violated by the Syrians. Since that alleged ceasefire, there have been thousands of additional Syrians killed. Kofi Annan's plan is dead. It's as dead as the massacre victims that have occurred over the last few months, the latest atrocity just being a long string of Syrian government efforts to kill every opposition figure they can get their hands on.
Now, the U.S. and other nations are kicking out diplomats, but how much is that going to do?
Well, it's not going to do anything. This regime in Syria is not playing by any rule book that the West is prepared to play by. Look, the administration has argued, Hillary, that there has been no plan B in Syria, that Kofi Annan's plan was the best game in town. I couldn't disagree more. There's a plan C, and that plan C could compel this administration to stop subcontracting our Syrian policy out to the Russians and to others that don't share our interests. And while I'm not suggesting we put boots on the ground, there's far more things that we could do.
Well, such as?
Well, the most important thing is to de-recognize the Syrian regime. Number two, because of this massacre, bring a complaint before the International Criminal Court. Number three, let the Turks do what the administration stopped the Turks from trying to do in March, which is to open up humanitarian corridors and to provide covert military assistance through the Arab League and the Turks. We put a kibosh on that because we were afraid of having the Turks and the Arab Leagues pull us into a slippery slope in Syria, and here we are again facing that very prospect.
Coming up, we're going to check in on John Edwards in that trial in this hour of the Talk Radio Review.
Are you struggling each month to make ends meet? Could an extra $1,000 help you out today? Would restructuring your credit card debt into a lower, more manageable payment make life easier? Well, there is hope. A national consumer advocacy network comprised of lenders and professional credit advisors is ready to help you. Just text the word FREE to 20300 for instant information on programs that can help you. Text the word FREE to 20300 right now. Message and data rates may apply.
The war had been gone for 2 years, and I got the call. I got the call to join the service and support the boys over there.
Thousands of American troops have come home from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, suffering the effects of post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injuries.
I never thought that I would have PTSD. I thought that I had enough coping skills.
I don't think anybody who goes into combat could ever honestly say that they're not different when they come home.
What you take as a simple thing is not so simple for me anymore.
I'm going to have my good days and my bad days, and I really don't like those bad days.
I would say to those people that are out there, don't brush this aside and don't count us out.
Help the USO support these troops and their families. Hear more of their stories at usoinvisiblewounds.org. The wounds are invisible. The stories are real.
Come up here and sit on the porch with me.
I love staying here. How long have you lived here?
A long time. You know, your mother grew up here.
I'm gonna have a house like this when I grow up.
I hope so, buddy. I hope so.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. Visit houselogic.com/homeownership to learn more.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you have the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tatler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Halfway through the hour, Doug Steffen back again with our Talk Radio program, turning the attention or the heat up on John Edwards. From Fox, John Scott talks to legal analyst Liz Wheel and Jennifer Bonjean about whether it's starting to look like the jury may be deadlocked.
This all gets so confusing to me because clearly, if you're married, you don't want your wife to know that you're having an affair. But if you're running for president, you don't want the voters to know either, right? So where does the line get drawn here?
I think,
and is that where
it helps the prosecution, because you don't want the line to, you don't want her to find out. So what would you do to keep her from finding out, her being Mrs. Edwards? You would do anything. You would use those campaign funds, campaign contributions, not gifts, campaign contributions, to make sure she never found out about the affair you're having.
Let's talk about the tweet in question. This is something that the Daily Beast uncovered in its look at his Twitter account on May 25th in 07. He writes, "Thrilled to be in Iowa with Elizabeth and the kids, working with Iowans to support our troops and bring them home." Now, that suggests, Jennifer, that his wife was unaware of the fact that he was carrying on this affair with Riel Hunter at that same time?
Yeah, I think it does, because if you looked at the prosecution's evidence, they put on a great deal of evidence about how distraught his wife was. All of this incredible evidence about her ripping off her blouse. And had she known that this was going on right underneath her nose, I sincerely doubt that she would have been participating in the campaign with him, that they would have been going on the road together. So it suggests that she did not know, which means there for in the defense's theory is that he was using the money to keep it from her and from his family and from public embarrassment.
But even more reason to cover up, to keep the campaign going, because if that was uncovered and she did find out about it again, then the whole campaign would fall apart.
But doesn't the existence of the tweet also suggest that he's trying to hide all of this from voters?
Well, he's trying to hide it from the public, and certainly there are
that is voters. We the public are the voters.
That's true, that he's trying to hide it from the public right. Embarrassment from his wife. But at the end of the day, would those people have still given him that money even if they knew what it was going for? Bunny Mellon, and it strongly suggests that they would have. We know Fred Barron would have given that money.
But the jury instructions were very, very on target on this, and the judge said it doesn't have to be just for one reason. If that was a reason to cover it up from the public to keep the campaign going, that would be enough.
But at the same time, they have to show that Edwards had an intent to violate campaign finance laws. We have a savvy lawyer, someone who is very familiar with the election campaign laws.
That's true.
We have someone who consulted other lawyers about this. And we have the FEC who said he committed no wrongdoing.
But so very familiar with campaign finance laws, I would say right there. You make the point for the prosecution, which is that he should have known what he was doing was wrong.
The Federal Election Commission doesn't even think he did anything wrong.
Not so much.
The same agency that is responsible for administering and enforcing the laws doesn't believe he did anything wrong. So how can we say...
But that's not relevant to a criminal charge.
It absolutely is.
No, it
was admitted into evidence. There was a memorandum that was admitted into evidence that said exactly that.
Another pair of hosts, Doug McElvin and Debbie Monterey, talking to CBS legal analyst Andrew Cohen about some of the issues concerning the jury, which might force deliberations to start all over again.
One has to suppose after 6 days, is the jury divided over guilt versus acquittal, or are they just being really thorough and meticulous?
Well, there's no way to tell. And, of course, the big news in this case happened on Friday when there were concerns about one of the alternate jurors. There were concerns about the jury members deliberating when they weren't as a total group of 12. Those are issues that have to be resolved before the deliberations continue, and I think we're going to see a hearing or some sort of a court proceeding before the jury begins its work today to find out what the story is. I'm sure the judge is concerned. I'm sure both sides are concerned, because if there is a problem with the jury, you have to bring in an alternate. You essentially have to start your deliberations all over again, and I don't think anybody wants that to happen.
You know, when the nation follows a big, high-profile case, they always, you know, there are a lot of people who say, of course he's guilty, and they'll be shocked if the jury doesn't find that way. But we're not really judging him on whether he cheated on his wife or fathered a child, or even if he spent money to hide it. It's, did he break campaign finance laws?
Right. This is a very close case. I think that helps explain why the jury didn't come back last week. A lot of people, myself included, thought that they would. They did ask for a lot of evidence. There is this indication that they're being very methodical. But you're right. This is a very complex issue. And I think it's, you know, the prosecutors have tried to link in the lies that John Edwards told to the campaign finance laws, to say that the donations he got, the gifts he got, were actually strategic campaign contributions. The defense has been saying, no, you know, this is somebody who made mistakes and did not do the right thing, but that it's not a federal crime. But, you know, the big story is going to be whether these 12 jurors who have been deliberating since the start will be able to continue to deliberate into this week, or whether or not there's going to have to be a change. That's why you have alternates. And, of course, on Friday, the big story was one of the alternates was allegedly flirting. The word was flirting with John Edwards. They were all wearing red, the alternates. That's also got to be a concern for the judge, and I suspect he'll do something about it today.
Up next, let's move to comments made by an MSNBC host referring to veterans as heroes, or maybe not. So that's up next here on the Talk Radio Countdown.
Eric Weinmayer knew the risks. Less than 1,200 people had ever conquered Mount Everest, and more than 175 had died trying. But still he climbed, not seeing the terrifying drops or the fear on other faces. And when he reached the summit, he didn't even see the view, because Eric Weinmayer is blind. He proved it doesn't take sight to reach the top. It takes vision. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
With our Dish Hopper, automatically skipping commercials on TV is easy. The Dish Hopper lets you skip primetime commercials on all four major networks. But how can you skip ads in other places? Well, Dish has some suggestions. To skip newspaper ads, simply chase your paperboy off your lawn with a baseball bat. To skip highway billboards, memorize the route you're driving, then coat all your windows in a thick black paint. And finally, to skip ads on the internet, simply locate your router and begin punching it. Continue punching it until the router or your fist have had enough. Now, none of this is as easy or convenient as using the Dish Hopper, which lets you automatically skip primetime ads on all four major networks. But you can't go too far when it comes to skipping ads.
Watch commercial-free TV with the Hopper, the new whole home HD DVR from Dish. Call 1-800-WATCH-TV to get Dish today. Only available for playback of select HD primetime shows and must be enabled by customer. Programming sold separately. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
500 new business cards. That's 500 first impressions.
At Staples, we know your business printing is important.
30 copies of a killer proposal. 30 yeses to a career-changing deal.
So Staples certified print pros make sure it's perfect.
One new store sign, thousands of new shoppers.
Great business printing can be the difference between making a sale and missing one. For a limited time, buy 200 instant business cards and get 200 free. Order in-store or at staples.com/instant. Staples Instant Printing. Get it made today. Staples. That was easy.
If you're living with diabetes and have Medicare or private insurance, here is some great news. Call United States Medical Supply today, and we'll send you the smallest glucose meter in the world, absolutely free. So small, it fits right on the bottle of Strix. And if you call now, we'll also send you this stylish, full-featured meter at no charge. That's two free meters. You can keep one in your pocket and leave the other one at home.
You can even hook it up to your computer so your doctor can track your results.
United States Medical Supply also delivers prescription medication right to my door, so I don't have to go to the drugstore anymore.
Don't let diabetes get in the way of living. Give us a call today at United States Medical Supply and get the smallest meter in the world for free. Call today.
Call 1-800-897-8374. That's 1-800-897-8374. Call 1-800-897-8374 today.
My car's a sauna. What's with this air conditioning?
You need an AC Pro.
Know any?
Yeah, you.
You got me confused with somebody else.
You're a pro with new do-it-yourself AC Pro, the 10-minute cold air solution.
But I...
You know where to find the hood?
That thing up front?
Exactly. AC Pro's easy, fast, and saves you money. You'll have your car's AC blowing cold air in minutes, guaranteed.
I did it. It's like a freezer in here.
Be a pro with new AC Pro, the 10-minute cold air solution.
Got a sweater?
Talk Radio Countdown Show. The backlash has started over MSNBC host Chris Hayes. Here's Talk host Nick Reed with the Chris Hayes in the focus. His subsequent apology, Reed says he ought not to have made the apology.
Chris Hayes is a host on MSNBC, so you sort of kind of know where this is going already. And he's talking about, with a panel of, he's hosting, and he is talking about heroes and those who have given up their lives. And in this day and age, we'd be talking about those who have volunteered to give up their lives for the military and oftentimes literally make that ultimate sacrifice. And he mentions that when it comes to using the term hero, he's just, you know, doesn't know that he's necessarily comfortable with that.
It's interesting because it is, I think, very difficult to talk about the war dead and the fallen without invoking valor, without invoking the words heroes. Why do I feel so comfortable about the word hero? I feel uncomfortable about the word hero because it seems to me that it is so rhetorically proximate to justifications for more war. And I don't want to obviously desecrate or disrespect the memory of anyone that's fallen, and obviously there are individual circumstances in which there is genuine and tremendous heroism of, you know, hail of gunfire and rescuing fellow soldiers and things like that. But it seems to me that we marshal this word in a way that is problematic, but maybe I'm wrong about that.
Now, okay, so what he's saying here is that one of the reasons he's, I mean, maybe once in a while they do something that would be considered, quote, heroic. But the problem he says he has here is that by labeling these individuals as heroes in the context of war, then you're sort of kind of saying that the war is okay. And you can't have heroes when the war is not good. And as we know, if you're on the left in particular, I mean, any war that was started by a Republican or executed by a Republican from the beginning is a bad war until a Democrat gets in there and bashes the U.S. and apologizes, and then all of a sudden it's a good war. But nonetheless, we know what's being talked about here. And what he's saying is he fears that all of these accolades and all of this love and admiration that we express to those who have volunteered, those who have given the ultimate sacrifice, be they veterans, be they those who have lost their lives, by calling them heroes and just oohing and gooing over them and everything, because it's in the context of war, you know, we might sort of be kind of saying that war's okay. Now, he's since apologized, of course. I mean, you saw that this was coming. He's no Keith Olbermann, so he apologized. I don't think that he should have apologized. I don't think he should have apologized because he's not sorry. But this is what he feels.
Talk host Rich Minaya says if you put a uniform on for America, you're a hero.
I heard this report about this guy who was questioning whether fallen soldiers are heroes. And I don't know if this was specifically, it sounded like he was taking a swipe at soldiers, men and women who fought in Afghanistan and Iran. Is he trying to say that they're not as heroic as others? What is he trying to say? Because I can't figure out what this knucklehead is talking about. He's afraid he's going to inspire more wars? Look, a hero is very easily defined in my book. If you put a uniform on, I don't care if it's 1941 or 2012. If that person serves their country and they put themselves on the line, that person is a hero. That is a hero. Well, why? They could have used this time for Memorial Weekend to go on and talk about how great the men and women are who have preserved the freedom so they can go on TV and be so stupid. Instead, they, whatever show this is, they were, because I'm not saying the name, we're debating what the word hero is as far as our soldiers' heroes. And this particular host says he's uncomfortable calling fallen soldiers heroes. Oh, my God. It's not just the fallen ones that are heroes. It's the ones that are potentially in harm's way to be deceased and never return home. Here's a piece of what he said.
It is, I think, very difficult to talk about the war dead and the fallen without invoking valor, without invoking the words heroes. Why do I feel so comfortable about the word hero? I feel uncomfortable about the word hero because it seems to me that it is so rhetorically proximate to justifications for more war.
Oh, my God, are you kidding me? You're just a TV schmuck talking head. Nobody cares anyway. So by you calling them heroes on Memorial Weekend, you might inspire more war. Unbelievable.
Here are our hosts Bob Davis and Tom Emmer talking about the fact that we may overuse the word hero. It was in poor taste for this guy to bring it up on Memorial Day.
He was sort of doing a round table and he was throwing out that question, is the use of the word hero overdone? And again, I think on almost any other day of the year, that would be a fine question to throw out. But on Memorial Day, it's really in bad taste. If MSNBC is in the tank for Obama, then maybe this is why almost 60% of the veterans out there are for Romney, despite the media continuing to tell us that the Gulf War veterans are for Obama. Is Hayes out of line? Was he out of line? And again, I will say he apologized. But as I said, you could say it almost any other time, but on Memorial Day, which is a day to remember the war dead, I think it's indefensible. Whether you agree or disagree with the political motivations for war, do you recognize anyone sacrifice who is killed, whether it's in an accident or something like that, or do they have to be a quote-unquote hero, a Medal of Honor winner or something like that? To me, Memorial Day, and I'll just say this, was always you put the flag up, usually, and it was the beginning of summer, and there wasn't much discussion about war dead, although we would talk about people in the family who had served. And it was sometime later that my brother-in-law said, I said something like, this is a day for everybody who served in the military. And he said, well, I came back. This is for the people that did not come back. He was a Vietnam era veteran. But today, especially with IEDs and everything else, do you have to be in combat to be considered a hero? And is the word misplaced? I think that in some ways that's what he was asking. I think it was inappropriate to ask it on Memorial Day. But
an example. I mean, he's too smart for his own good.
Yeah.
True. I mean, he's trying to be so academic with his approach. I kind of get what he was going after. I disagree with him completely. I think he's wrong. But I sort of get what he was going after. I don't think he was trying to denigrate individual members of the
the military. I don't get that sense at all. I think he's just too smart and too academic for his own good and trying to approach this from way too intellectual a place when it really is about an emotional reaction. It's about how we feel as a country towards those who have given up their freedoms and given up their rights to go out and fight and defend ours.
Up next, let's sound off about the debt, the budget, balancing it. Where, oh, where does the money come from? That's up next here on The Countdown.
Hey, meat eaters! The freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the freeze-dry guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
George Washington said, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." America's government is no longer the servant of the people and the protector of our liberty, but has become that fearful master. We the people must understand the nature of this government gone awry if we are to be successful in saving our country. America is being deliberately destroyed by a cabal of international gangsters so that she can be forced into subjugation to a one-world government. The God-given, unalienable rights of the Declaration of Independence are in jeopardy. We must not let them be stolen by ambitious and evil men. Utopia Silver Supplements believes it is our God-given right to make our own health care decisions however we deem best. If we can help you with your supplement needs and better health, then help us win this health freedom battle. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
What we're talking about in talk radio, talk television, and the ongoing budget conversations are just over the top, aren't they? Another Fox excerpt, Jamie Colby here with Congressman Robert Dole of Illinois about the reasons he believes Congress still has not passed a budget.
There's a lot of activity on the budget, but not enough to get one. Why do we not have a budget?
Well, I think by law we have to have a budget, at least proposed by April 15th. We've done one in the House. We actually passed it out of the House. The Senate has yet to have a budget in over 3 years, which I think is a dereliction of duty. They haven't even attempted to propose a budget, which I think if you look at the American public out there, the American public, their households are balancing a budget. They're operating off of one. Most businesses are operating off of a budget. Now just imagine the largest organization in the world in the United States government operating without a budget.
We know what's happening.
Do you think there's anything more inefficient, though?
Mm-hmm. Well, we know what's happening without a budget. We keep accumulating trillions of dollars in deficits. But every time I ask Democrats, they tell me that it's because Republicans are not willing to compromise. Are Republicans willing to compromise if an appropriate budget is presented?
I think so. And certainly if we look at this last budget season, the House of Representatives did pass a budget. But what was interesting to me in this last budget cycle was the fact that we've had a bipartisan budget, the first bipartisan budget to be presented on the floor of the House of Representatives in decades. And frankly, you know, I was one of eight co-sponsors of that budget, and we received only 38 votes, which I think is really unfortunate. But I think we'll probably end up going back that direction because we do need to have something that both Republicans and Democrats can agree upon to try to move our country forward.
What's the status of the budget that President Obama presented so long ago?
Well, President Obama presented another budget. So the budget that he presented in in 2011, got zero votes in the United States Senate.
From
the
both
one that
parties.
He presented in, from both parties. So he got no votes from anyone in the United States Senate. In 2012, the budget that he proposed got no votes, zero votes in the United States House of Representatives. So that was, you know, obviously a repudiation of what the president has proposed. And we can't continue to go down the path of trillion-dollar deficits year after year after year, expecting to try to put ourselves on the course of fiscal sanity.
You think the president is concerned about the fact that there's no budget?
Well, I don't know about the president. I'm certainly concerned that we don't have a budget, that, and it doesn't seem like we're going to be heading that direction. What the government's doing right now is it's funding itself in 3 month, 6 month, short-term increments in order to get by. And frankly, if you're just thinking about it from an organizational perspective, where do you have the resources in terms of where you're going to put dollars for your priorities and the like? So it's an extremely inefficient way to run the government, and frankly, I think the American people deserve better.
Here's host Mitch Hank talking to Bill Wilson from Americans for Limited Government about the financial problems in California and several other states.
I hear this from my friends who are public employees. Believe it or not, I do have some.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, we didn't cause this. I mean, this could come from this particular individual as a teacher and a coach who's not making very much money.
Right.
He says, we didn't cause the deficit. He says, how did I cause the deficit? And they look at the situation and they say you're going to balance the budget on our backs, and we didn't cause the fiscal problem. I mean, you look at governors will borrow money from the highway fund and they'll move things around, they'll do this or that. And so their cry is, why are we always to be the ones who are blamed for the red ink?
Well, because personnel is 90% of any expenditure, of any business, any enterprise. People, the cost of personnel become the dominant cost. And in point of fact, if you look at spending, any one individual can be a great guy and say, you know, I didn't do this. And you honestly can look them in the eye and say, you personally didn't. But the fact of the matter is we have too many. The overall cost is too great. The benefits package is way too much. And when you add it all together, it is more than the system can bear.
And actually, in Wisconsin, we had our retirement system was solvent when this whole fight began, unlike other states where they have trillions in California unfunded liabilities. So it's worse there. Illinois, another example, Bill?
Oh, Illinois is far worse.
Yeah. $508 million operating deficit. But they're apparently a lot more than that behind on current bills. I'm not sure how they move the numbers around.
I mean, anybody who does business with the state of Illinois is a masochist. Getting paid now, they are months in arrears on their payments. They budget on the assumption that we're not going to pay our bills on time.
Mm-hmm.
Their retirement system is deeply in the red. I think they have 54 cents on the dollar.
$6 billion. I'm seeing a current story. $6 billion on a backlog of current bills. In other words, money they owe today, they're $6 billion short.
Find out more about all these items on the countdown at DougStephan.com.